God's People Gets Serious, an exposition of Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 10 and verse 23. This message by guest preacher Joe Howard was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday morning, May the 4th, 2008.
I want to talk to you today about something that's on my heart. During these past 10, 20 years, I have served on that staff, and then also since retiring there, I've been almost constantly involved in interim work. I was interim in one church for 20 months. That's longer than any of their pastors had ever been. And then they called a guy, and he stayed for 5 years, and they called me back, and I was there 9 more months. And I just finished one for 10 months down by Blanchard. One of the things I'm seeing in those churches is there's a lack of genuineness, of concern for outreach, and for concern for depth in spiritual growth. We have a lot of fellowship. We enjoy each other. But folks, there's a lost world out there. We have a decaying, dying world. And how we need the gospel is almost more than any man could ever explain. But I want to share with you today on this subject, when God's people get serious. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 19. That's in the New Testament. Acts, chapter 19. And we're going to begin by reading verse 8 forward, and then I'll call your attention to others. And he entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way, now that's the Christian way we're talking about, before the multitude, he withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this took place for 2 years, so that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both the Jews and the Greeks. I don't think I'm giving any new items of information to you when I say to you that we're in a time of spiritual declension. We're in a time of spiritual death in the heart and lives of some of our churches. Renewal, spiritual renewal is needed. It's needed now more than ever before. And we live in a time, and I picked this up, I get from Southern Baptist headquarters most of their information. I spent 8 years on the executive committee of the Southern Baptist Convention, traveling to Nashville twice every year and making the conventions and helping in the decisions that made that our convention does. And one of the periodicals that I received just this week had much to say about the fact of cold churches, moral toboggan slide, and how true that is, and spiritual dishonesty. If I mention the names of you senior adults who are here, the name of Art Linkletter, does that ring a bell with you? I have a feeling that it would. Art Linkletter was a hobo. He was a bum. And he spent a lot of years at that. And then he came into tremendous success in television and radio and dealing with people of all ages, particularly with older people. He was known and loved by millions. And money just flowed like a river. And he became very, very wealthy. He had a daughter who was enjoying the lavish lifestyle of her father's wealth. When she was 19 years of age, she was already hooked on drugs. She lived in her own apartment with her live-in boyfriend. She was high on LSD, and she had all kinds of problems mentally. And one day she was out on the edge of that beautiful apartment where she lived, and she jumped from it and committed suicide. It shattered Linkletter's life. And he now says, and I heard him say this, that was the pivotal point in his spiritual life. Now listen to what he said. He said, up to that time, I just made some things look good that were not good at all. I was just going through the motions. And he said, I guess you could say, at that time, I was a cardboard Christian. What did he mean by that? He meant I had my name on a card in a church. And that's all there was to it. I had no spiritual depth. I had no spiritual growth. I had no concern for outreach. And this man who had made so much in helping others, he said, I finally got serious about being a Christian. I heard in my own city, Oklahoma City, a mother who said about her two teenage daughters, I want my daughter to have enough religion to make her respectable, but not enough to make her uncomfortable. With an attitude like that, do you need to say more about the need of spiritual depth and scriptural teachings and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives? So I want to call your attention to about three or four special things. When God's people get serious, there will be profession. That's there. You find that in verses 1 through 7 that we didn't read a moment ago. Paul was at Ephesus. It came about that while Paul was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus, and found some disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into that, what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him. But listen, but when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when they had laid their hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. And they were all in all about 12 men. I know there's a lot being said about that matter of what that tongues was and how we interpret that. I personally believe, and I read after a lot of people who are a whole lot more credible than I am intellectually and in Bible knowledge, that it was talking about languages and not some common static utterances that I see used in some places now. But let me say some things, folks, about this matter of profession. There's no such thing as an anonymous Christian. You either are or you're not. And you need to let it show everywhere you are, on the campus, on the job, in your social life, everywhere. Let people know who you are. More than that, let them know whose you are, that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as being a secret disciple. Some people have the idea, well, I'll be a Christian, but I don't let anybody know about it. They might want to make fun of me. There's no such thing as a secret disciple. There's no such thing as understanding that I can do these things without one destroying the other. There has to be a profession. Christians who belong to the Lord need to live for the Lord. One of the nicest compliments anybody ever said to me when I was a little boy was, and people would say it quite often, you know, Joe, you look so much like your father. And I tell you, I idolized my dad. He was my best friend. He was that even when I entered into the ministry and worked with me through those years of beginning growth. But that was an honor to me. But there's something more important than that. That is looking like your heavenly father. When people see you, watch how you act, watch what you do, how you work. Peg and I moved to New Orleans and spent 2 years there pastoring a church in Greater New Orleans and Parkview, a very wonderful place to be in, had tremendous growth, more growth than most of the places where I've ever been, and money flowed, and I baptized 50 or 60 young adult Catholics during the time that I was there, who came and They were confused, and they said, "We're just confused about our religion. Can you help us?" And I'd counsel with them, and they'd accept Christ, and they came into our fellowship. But in that term there, somebody told me about back in the old days when people would come down to the loading docks down there and watch the stevedores, black people, as they would be loading ships. And that was part of the game. People would come from New York and the East, and that was first place they wanted to go. We're down on the docks, watch the stevedores work. And the one who was telling me about this said that in those days when the people would come there, that it was much, much the same. Those people, black people, worked so hard. And you'd see them as they were carrying their burdens on their back. And oftentimes they were humming a lonely or a lonesome kind of song. And no expression on their face, no smile. But one day while they were doing that, one young man in that group had a smile on his face, held his head upright, and he was humming a happy song. The guide said, somebody asked him, "Well, why is that young man different than the rest of them?" He said, "Well, it's very simple. Before that man came here as a slave, his father was a king in his country. And he's never forgotten who he is, the son of a king." Folks, that's the way it is with you and I in our Christian life. Never forget who we are. Hold our head up. Give our testimony everywhere we go. I'm going to say a second thing, and that is that when God's people get serious, there's proclamation. We get the word out. And verses 8 and 9 tell us that. "And he entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the multitude. He withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus." When God's people get serious, there is proclamation. India, in the government, was trying to outlaw Christians' right to go door to door, Christians' right to hand out tracts, Christians' right to give their testimony. E. Stanley Jones took a stand, and he stood up before them and he said, "It is by nature. The very thought in the heart of a Christian is to practice, to profess, and to propagate the gospel. That's the nature of Christian people. You can't take that away from them." And folks, that is so, so very true. The duty is inherent in the Christian life to let the world know that we belong to Jesus Christ. Well, I'll mention a third thing. When God's people get serious, there's power. And oh, Brother Pastor, how we need that power in our day. One of the things I've noticed in being in churches that are several of them that have broken off from other churches and formed their own congregation is the lack of spiritual warmth and response in the time of invitation. Very few people coming to rededicate them lives. As I remember young people, they've always been my heart, young people. And I told young people every church I ever went to pastor, which, by the way, this period covers about 61 years. And I tell young people when I first get there on the field, "Now look, I can't sing your songs. I can't play your games. I can't talk your language. But if you need a friend, I'll be there. And I'll stand before the deacons and the leadership of the church, and see that they provide for you what you deserve." I want to tell you today that you and I need to understand the need of getting involved in the lives of people to help them to be what they ought to do. And spiritual power is needed. The real thing, the power of the Holy Spirit. Supernatural power that comes only from God. I read in Newsweek magazine, excuse me, I've been fighting this for about a month now. But I read in a national periodical about Clint Collins, a man who weighed 155 pounds. He was present when a steel beam fell on a 12-year-old boy, and the boy was strangling to death. And Clint Collins, that little man, picked that thing up and held it up off of that boy until they could pull him out and he could live. And psychiatrists and psychologists have a special name for that. They call that A equals T plus P. And what it means simply is power in a time of crisis. Well, I got news for you. We who are gathered here today, who know Christ as our Savior, we have a special power also. It's called INS, Indwelling Holy Spirit, that lives in us, that works with us day by day. Well, when God's people get serious, there's purification. It has to do with life practice. It has to do with how we act. Paul told them that you either sacrifice yourself to idols or you sacrifice yourself to God. And the only way you can have victory is giving your life to God. And over in 1 John, which is one of my favorite little studies to do when I go off and preach revivals, and I've preached about 350 revivals over the years, but during the weekdays and have morning Bible studies, I'd oftentimes use 1 John. And let me call your attention to something that this passage of Scripture says to us. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Folks, that has to do with lifestyle. Physically, spiritually, every area of our life. That's what it's talking about. Well, I want to mention one final thing, and that is just as true as all the others. When God's people get serious, there'll be problems. In verse 23 of Acts 19, and about that time, there arose no small disturbance concerning the way. About that time, no small disturbance concerning the Christian way. We're there. We're living in it. It's everywhere. And you and I need to stand up and be counted, no matter what the cost, that we stand up and let the world know who we belong to. I like what old Edward Mote wrote when he said, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest rain, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, no other ground. All other ground has sinking sound. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay." Let me close with something that's become very meaningful to me. Through the years, I've memorized a lot of verse and a lot of poems and things of that kind. God just allowed me to do that. But one of my favorites that is becoming more true in our lives every day is that, I don't even know who the author was, just a bit of verse who said, "Life is a book of volumes 3, the past, the present, and the yet to be. The past is written and laid away. The present we're living day by day. The third and last of volumes 3 is hid from sight. God holds the key." Folks, none of us know what's going to happen tomorrow. Since I was pastor of this church, our second son dropped dead with a heart attack. He was over at Sepulpa. He was in charge of paramedics over there and that ambulance service that they have. 46 years old. That's one of those events. God holds the key. We don't understand. As I stand before you today, our daughter, who's our baby, has MS and is crippled. I think about these past years, the physical things that's happened in her own life, and this lady who played the piano this morning in the last 5 years has been close to death's door about five times. I tell her once in a while, you know, you're going to have to give up. You've been at heaven's door five times, and God said, not yet, Peg. He left her here, and I'm so thankful that he has. She fights diabetes, has had other problems. During that last year or so, she made a CD, and God has blessed her in that. Just some good old gospel hymn with a little different kind of arrangement. And I'm so thankful. But folks, it's time we get serious about God's business. If you're here today and it's possible that there's a decision that you need to make, don't put it off. Your pastor that I love deeply will come and stand here, and you come and share with him what God placed in your heart. It may be to rededicate your life. There's nothing that I believe pleases God more than to see our altar filled with people who say, I want to move closer to God. I want to be more positive in my Christian life. I want to be serious about what I'm doing. If you're here and your membership is elsewhere and you say, this is where I want my church home, then you're invited to come and place your membership here. More than all the jewels in heaven and earth, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, then today come. Let this pastor share with you the Word of God and lead you to Jesus Christ. Will you do it? Let's stand together for prayer.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.